Yeah. Okay, so we're doing with Rashi and the Rosh about the Tekilas HaChabar HaSochadas. So the question we left off with, I guess, is why is it that inside the bar you're always Yotzei? Right? That's the main question. What's there? He's saying you only hear the Kol Shofar. It's not true. It doesn't seem to be true. So what does that mean? What's the whole thing? And then all the other problems come along.
Kol Shofar in the bar?
Right. Okay, so I'm thinking like this. It's like, let's say, so when you hear a piano, so I'm assuming certain facts here. It's like you have a piano. So when you have a piano, you have what makes the sound is the strings which are being banged by that which the keys are moving into the strings on the inside, whatever. Because that's part of what's making the sound of the piano. But also, there's the casing which these strings find themselves in, which participate in the sound. Like any guitar also. I mean, there's the whole shape of the guitar, the inside space, the bouncing off the walls. It's not just strings. You don't have a guitar just because you have a bunch of strings. You don't have a piano just because you have strings. Every instrument is going to be the same. But the casing which it finds itself in is the way the sound bounces off the walls of the piano is a component of the sound. And I'm sure the design of the casing is very specific. It's a certain shape to it. It's not just totally just to fit the strings. But, I mean, there's a shape. And I'm assuming that.
So just like when people talk when there's an echo in a tunnel, there's people like to sing sometimes when you go into a tunnel.
Right. Right. Sure. What? Essentially. All right. But I'm not. I'm talking about a piano. So what I'm saying is, when you hear a piano, you'll say, "I'm hearing the sound of the piano." Okay. And what you mean by that is, I'm hearing. It's like it's an instrument which consists of a combination of strings and the casing. Right. But that's what I'm hearing. Okay. Fine. Now let's say I was really little and I lived inside a piano. Okay. That was my house. Okay, really loud, and I heard this at the piano. Okay, so now and then you'd ask me, so what am I hearing? What's the sound? That's the sound of.
Yeah.
The piano. So no. So I'd say you wouldn't. You'd say that's the strings. Okay. You say this to the piano. You'd say, wow, this room has great acoustics. You know, what you'd say is there is no. That's the room. Then the casing is your location, and the strings are making the sound, and you happen to be inside in a room that has very good acoustics. But you don't say that the room is producing the sound because you're in the room. That's not an instrument. In order for it to be an instrument, if you're outside of the thing and you say the box is part of the instrument, there's an instrument consisting of. You're looking at the thing from afar and you're saying there's an instrument consisting of strings and the casing. But if you lived inside a piano, then the only instrument is a bunch of strings. And the casing is not a casing, that's just your house. You live there. That's not an instrument, that's just the acoustics of the room in which you find yourself. Just like if you go to a concert hall and you hear an orchestra, you don't say that the concert hall is one of the instruments in the orchestra. You say this room has good acoustics. Right? But if an orchestra managed to set themselves up in a box, which the echoes off the thing, they were actually in a box and the audience was outside of the box, then you'd say that box is an instrument, that's part of the sound producer. Okay, so if you're in, but that which you're in isn't part of an instrument, that is your location and that contributes acoustically to the thing, but the instrument is that which is the thing which you're looking at, so to speak. But again, if you're outside of the box, then you say that the box is part of the instrument. Hold on a second. So therefore, what I'm saying is that if you're inside of the pit and a guy's blowing the shofar, you're hearing the Kol Shofar. You're not hearing that, or you're not hearing anything else with the echo. But the echo is the shofar. So that's acoustics. So their acoustics make the shofar sound deep, sound this, sound that. That's acoustics. You don't say, when I'm in a symphony, I'm in a hall, you don't say, I'm hearing the sound of the piano and the acoustic piano and the wall. That's hearing a piano when you're in a orchestra, when you're in a hall and you hear a piano, that's the way pianos sound inside a hall. And that's the way shofars sound inside a pit. And what's producing it? It's a Kol Shofar. The Olam Kol Shofar Shama. That's it. You're only hearing the Kol Shofar. But if you're outside of the pit, and a guy's inside a pit blowing a shofar, then you could argue, and we'll get when you do, when you don't, but then you could argue that what's producing this sound is the shofar pit. Okay? It's a combo. Okay, it's a pit in a shofar. And the pit and the walls of the pit are part of this new musical instrument called the shofar pit, the shofar bar. Okay, because you're from without, and that is a component of the call is the fact that there's a pit. And if the guy were standing outside of the pit, you'd hear a shofar. If the guy's inside the pit, you hear a shofar bar. It's a different sound. And it's not just the acoustics of the room which you find yourself. That is actually part of the sound producer. A guy inside a pit blowing a shofar. A guy inside a barrel blowing a shofar. That's a new type of an instrument. It's a shofar combined with barrel. Or shofar combined with pit. So then you could say that's not called shofar anymore. Because now it's a combination. I'm hearing a new instrument. It's not just called shofar. It's called shofar pit. Okay? So far so good? Okay, so now... So now the question is, let's say I've managed, here's the deal though. So Rashi says, yeah, but hold on one second. Let's say you manage to stand right on the outside of the pit in a manner in which you really only hear the shofar. In other words, let's say it really does not, you could tell. That this is basically called shofar. There's no, the guy happens to be standing in a pit, but that's not the sound. The sound is 100% called shofar. It's not a called shofar pit. The guy happens to be in there, and therefore there would be potential for it to be shofar pit if the pit were deeper or rounder or I were further away or whatever. But bottom line is, I hear the thing, and I'm telling you, all it is called shofar. There is no, the casing, the pit is simply not part of that which is producing the sound. This is 100% called shofar. So he's inside the pit, and if I looked at it, I would think I'm going to hear the sound of a shofar bar. But it turns out I don't hear the sound of a shofar bar. I've heard the sound of a shofar. The sound went directly to my ears, didn't bounce off any walls, and I could tell. I know how it sounds. I know how a shofar bar sounds. I know how a shofar sounds. So I can tell this is only a cold shofar. The fact that he happens to be standing in the bar, but that's not part of the musical instrument. So I, so to speak, my shmiyah will set apart, and even though looking at the thing, there's a shofar bar before me, but the call through a mavchin, and that's how there's sort of a mav, the havchana, through my shmiyah, I'm mavchin, that this is not actually the sound of a shofar bar, even though it looks like it, but through my shmiyah of the kol, I could tell, and I could separate out the elements and say, this is only a kol shofar. And he, true, he's standing in it, and it may have potential to be a shofar bar, but in terms of the sound quality, the sound is 100% the kol shofar, not a kol shofar bar. So therefore, that'll be yotzei. If, on the other hand, they hear a mixture, they'll say, oh, that's a kol of a shofar bar. That's not a call of a shofar, it's a call of a shofar bar. But if I hear that it's only a call of a shofar, then what's the difference if he happens to be in the pit or out of the pit? In reality, the sound is really only the sound of the shofar, not the call of a shofar bar. Just like, for instance, if I hear a piano, and the casing is open, and I could sense that I sound exactly the same as if I would have sounded if there were no box whatsoever. If somehow you could imagine such a scenario, you know? It sounds just like a ding without any echo, any whatever. Then they'll say, I'm not listening to piano, I'm just listening to a ding. Right? If I had some sort of way to do that, you know? I'm not listening to piano, I'm just listening to a string, which is getting hit. Piano is where the sound is actually the sound of the piano, where all the components are constituents of it. Now, I'd say if I can't tell, then I'd assume it's a shofar bar. But given if I could tell, it's called shofar shama only, then I'll say it's called shofar, it's not called shofar bar. You know, so Danny asks, he says, yeah, but if so you tell me is that sometimes when you blow in the pit, so sometimes there's not going to be any echo, because you're so close, there's not going to be any echo, that's what we're saying. So then you listen to it and you say, you're mavchin, that even though it looks like a shofar bar, I hear, and I'm telling you, it's a kol shofar, it's not a kol shofar bar. So he's saying is that should be dependent upon objective factors. It's not what I hear. I mean, it's really objective factors. How far I am, where I am, how big the pit is. So there should be a shear. But the answer has to be that there's no way to have a shear like that because it's too complex. And halacha doesn't have shear that are that complex.
Why would you need a shear?
You need calculus. Because he's saying is in reality, there's a reality here. There is a reality here. Is it the kol shofar? It's not based upon what you hear. There's an objective reality. So there's objective reality. You should be able to find a way to measure it objectively. What you hear is just you're using your sense to try to sense what the objective reality is, but there's an intrinsic way to determine the reality based upon the physics or whatever. But halacha doesn't deal with that. So since it's not possible to do that, so the way in which you determine is through listening. and you trust the guy's ear to say whether he's mavkin through his ear. And he says, if he says he heard the kol shofar, then it's kol shofar. If he says he heard the kol avara, that's mixed, then that's what he heard. So the avchana is through his ear. Now the problem, the Rosh doesn't like that though. He says, and this we have to understand, is he says, no, because ma havchana yesh. Or ma nishtana kol shofar, palmim kol shofar, kam kol havara. He doesn't like that idea of being mavchin, using the guy's sense. So why not? Okay, the Lashon of the Rosh precisely is the Lama Nishtan at the Kiyas Habar. Pa'amim Kol Shofar or Pa'amim Kol Habar. Why should the Kiyas of the Bar change? Sometimes it's called Asleh, sometimes it's called Shofar, sometimes it's called Habar.
Right.
No, but then he says, and if you need a shear, if it's dependent on objective factors, then it should be a shear. So he's not just saying is that being on the outside, that's it. So you could have thought that he's saying, look, outside, that's it. It's defined as a shofar bar, and that's it. But he's not saying that. In theory, he seems like he would have been happy if there would have been able to be a shear. But he's saying is that you can't have a shear like that.
The only thing he's just saying, like, Rashi is wrong and giving
and then you down. Could say that. I mean, you could say that. But, I mean, his argument is, then what's, because then he goes right into that. He says, if you don't have a shear, you don't have a shear. 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 You don't have a shear.
Right.
So it sounds like he's entertaining that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe he means like this. Maybe the Rosh's problem is that he holds this. There's going to be a question on this, but we'll get to it. But maybe he holds that this is kind of what Danny was bothered by, I think, is that this is an objective question. Objective question is what you hear a sound. Now the question is, what produced this sound? Was it the shofar that produced the sound, or was it the shofar bar that produced the sound? Okay? Now, intrinsically, that's an objective question which has an objective answer. And there's an objective method of figuring out that answer. Now, the only thing is that halachically, it's too complex. Okay, halachically, it's too complex. But intrinsically, it's not a question about a person's senses. It's a question about a reality, about what produced the sound. Okay, so the thing is, that's an objective question which unfortunately we have no access to. We can't do it. So now he holds, the Rosh holds that it doesn't, you can't, in that situation, it doesn't make sense to then make recourse to a person's estimate. Because a person's estimate is like, it's a subjective kind of a judgment. Now, this is not a subjective phenomenon. This is a question about what's producing the call. Is the call a call shofar, or is it a call of vara? And here you're saying is, in order to determine this objective thing, you're asking the guy, what does it sound like? So he holds that's not a method of answering the objective question about what's producing the call. What's your question? In other words, I'm saying like this, a conceptual point, is that for starters, you're looking down at the pit, and you see a shofar bar. Okay, a shofar bar make noise. Now you want to be mavchen, and say that even though it's being blown, this noise is being blown by a shofar bar, I'm separating out and saying, I'm eliminating the pit. And I'm saying is that the pit has no role in the sound. Okay? Now the Russells, if you could demonstrate that objectively, so then you could be mavchen, and you could set apart and say the shofar is not involved, because then you are dealing with the intrinsic coal. What you're saying is the coal producer, the coal is being produced by, and as I know the coal properties, and I'm saying the coal is being produced only by the shofar. But if you're telling me is that I have no access to the thing itself, and I'm just kind of going a roundabout way, so you're saying is that if it were the kol shofar producing it also, it should have sounded like this. And if it were only the kol shofar, then it would sound like this. That's not that's an indirect method. And he holds is that type of a method doesn't suffice to halachically be mechalik the thing and to set it apart as being a kol shofar, being a kol shofar without the kol avar. I'm saying different here because, see, I'm saying here is you're trying to be mavchen.
Right.
So I'm saying is halachically the status quo is that it's a call of a shofar bar. And it's not just a matter of, I don't know where the kesan came from. It has a chalos of a kol shofar bar, and you have to objectively be mavchin and set apart the bar and say the bar is not a factor. So now, you need an objective method of doing that. You can't just go by the person's, the way a person says, even though it's good, even though a person could tell that kind of a thing. But since it's not from within, it's from without. But in order to be mavchin, you have to show me the properties of the coal itself, not based upon the person's sensing of the thing. That I'm saying is the question between Rashi and the Rash, is that in a case where intrinsically it's an objective question and there's a direct method of determining it, and that's not possible. The question is, does halacha say allow for like a secondary method, or you say that the method through the person's senses, or you say this is an objective question, and you can't say because I think it's, because to me it sounds this way. Even if to you it's good, but it's not you're not dealing with the thing itself. That's what he's saying is, lamana sana kol shofar, problem kol shofar kol avar. It means, what's mishtana the thing? Because the way I think it sounds, if you're dealing with objective criteria of the call, that the call has distance to go, and you're defining the call based upon the call itself. But here you're saying is, I can't define the call based upon the call itself. The call, I can't have no way I'd access that. But now I'm using an indirect way to define the call as being a call shofar to be mavchin. Because does halacha allow for that? What would you say is the difference? I mean, we could go maybe a little clearer. Is what about in Tom? Like in Tom, you see, you don't know whether it has Tom, so you say, ask a guy to taste it. So you see, you go by a guy's senses. And you see, you do go by his senses.
But it is about taste.
Right, exactly. See, there, Tom means it has taste. That is what it means. It means that if a person tastes it, it will have taste. That is, by definition, a sense phenomenon. So, of course, then you ask a person to taste it. But here, it's not a question of what does this sound like. That's not the question here. It's not a question of what sound does this sound like. If the question is what does it sound like, then you'd say, of course, ask a guy what it sounds like. But the question is, what is producing this sound? It's a physics question. What is producing this sound? And now you're saying is, I don't know how to tell based upon sound production methods, but I know when sounds are produced by A, it sounds this way, and when it's produced by this, it sounds that way. Therefore, I bring in a guy to be machria this objective question. That's a different thing. That's the question. Is that a valid halachic method to set up to halachically be to be machriya, to define it as being a kol shofar alone? Or you say that you can't be mavchin like that. Mavchin has to be an objective thing. It can't be some subjective havchana. It has to be mitocha from the thing itself. That's a good way. Like in Eidos, you have a case in Eidos, as halacha is like, you see a guy, they tell the guys, you can't go from an omed, from an estimate, which means like, if you see a guy, you have to see the guy stab him. But let's say you see a guy running into a building with a knife, and it's an isolated building, and then the guy runs out with a bloody knife or whatever. He says, it doesn't work. He says, could be because look, there's a 0.01% chance or whatever, but I think it just means that that's not Eidos. Eidos means where you witness the thing. And that's not witnessing the thing. Now, it's not. Eidos doesn't just mean that you know it happened. You know it happened is very nice, but that's not Eidos. Eidos means you're witnessing that you saw that this event took place. So there's a phenomenon of knowing a thing intrinsically, not through some indirect method. So the question is here. That's what's happening here. Is that intrinsically you're asking the question, what produced the sound? And the way you really determine that is based upon physics. But he's saying, is that we can't do? So now what I'm saying is, I'm using a secondary method in order to arrive at the conclusion, and there then, based upon that knowledge, I want to halachically define this kol shofar bar, redefine the kol shofar bar as a kol shofar. I mean, I think it's dependent upon that, because if it's really just a suffix, I don't know what produced it, then you'd say, look, so you have to use any method available at your disposal. But it's not a suffix, it's a cold shofar bar that's been produced by a guy in a pit, and that's a shofar bar. Now you have to be mavchin and separate it apart and redefine it as a cold shofar. So in order to do that, you have to have a direct method of doing so. Otherwise, it's basically a cold shofar bar. And to you, it sounds that way, but that's not going to halachically allow you to change the character of the call.
You don't find...
As I'm saying, I'm just giving examples like Tchelas. You say it's Tchelas, so we lost the Masorah of Tchelas. So the question is, now let's say the archaeological evidence that it was something is Tchelas. So the Brisker position is that, look, Allah, you need the Brisker off, right? You need a Masorah. You can't, that's not a method of creating a halachic reality. Aye, but that's what the Tchelas, that's the Tchelas that Moshe Rabbeinu had or whatever, if they could prove it archaeologically. But the point is, that's not, the Tchelas isn't a factual phenomenon, it's a halachic entity. And a halachic entity is created through halachic methods. And if archaeology is an endorsed halachic method, so it may very well be whatever fish it was, the chilazon, but that's not halachically, it doesn't have a chaloshim tcheles, because all chaloshim tcheles is halach chaloshim, and all chaloshim was created through halachically recognized methods. So now here you have a kol shofar. It's not, kol shofar doesn't just mean it's sound that was factually produced by a shofar alone, but it's a halachic entity, it's a halachic reality of a kol shofar. Now here you have a kol shofar bar, because it's produced by a shofar bar. Now if halachically you have an objective method of being mavchin and saying, this definitely was not a kol shofar because the kol bounced off the walls, blah, 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 whatever, which this is through objective criteria of determining the kol, then you'd be able to be mavchin, and that's a halachic method. The problem is that method is impossible because the shear is impossible. So now the question is, now I have a secondary method based on sense perceptions to figure it out. Now, does halacha endorse that as a method in absence of a primary method? If it doesn't, then you're stuck, because now basically you have no method, you have no way to determine it, even though you may know physically that's the case, but it doesn't mean it's halachically shem kol shofar. What you say is that it's true, in general, you don't need a sense perception, but here, since it's intrinsically impossible, halacha allows for a secondary method. And the sense perception is that such a method. So that's a question, presumably it's a question in the Shekel Hadas, in their knowledge of halacha in general, whether such a thing is valid or not. Let me just think one second. Let me just do one more point. I mean, I don't have so much time to go through it, but I'll just tell you. So the Rambam, the Ron wants to tie into that, and the Rambam he holds is based on a careful reading of the Rambam. I think it's correct that that if you're in that the same thing like Rashi. Take the part of if you're in the pit, then it's always a kol shofar, right? But he says if you're in a barrel, not a pit, not a dos. A barrel, if you're in a barrel, then since the echo is so strong, even if you're inside of the barrel, it's still gonna be, you're still not gonna be outside if you hear that echo. Right, he says, since it's such a big echo, afilu ohomdim besocho, im kol havara shamu lo yatsu. It's like, it has such a big echo that even if you're inside of it, you're still not going to be outside. So I think the thing is, like we were talking about this acoustics, right, is there comes a point where, and this is what the Rambam is going to argue, you can't just say it's acoustics. That acoustics is like a quantitative enhancement of sound. But when there becomes like there's a point where it becomes like a different quality of a sound. And he's holding is that in a barrel, if you're in a pit, that's just like a quantitative thing. So it affects it, it's acoustics. But there comes a point where it's so different that you can no longer say it's acoustics, but you say the instrument is the shofar bar. The bar is just the walls of me. Well, I'm inside the instrument. But in general, you're not inside instruments, because you say it's just my environment. But if the sound is so different from a kol shofar that that's not a kol shofar. So I'll say, well, what is it? So I'll say, it's a shofar barrel. What do you mean? I'm in the barrel. Well, I guess I'm just trying the musical instrument. But it has to be. That only happens when there's a qualitatively different, where the sound is qualitatively differentiated. And the Ron's learning in the Rambam that when you're in a barrel, and he's being daikin in front of the Rambam, I'm not sure how he holds Rambam knew it. Forgot if it's on the Gemara or whatever. But he's saying that there comes a point where when the sound is of a different quality, then you could say that it's a call of a shofar bar, even if you're inside the shofar. Whereas presumably it would seem the others shall know about that. And they hold that intrinsically, well, if that you can't, if you're inside of the thing, that can't be the instrument. I mean, that's a question. Like, is that like an intrinsic thing that is the instrument, if you're inside the thing, la'olam kol shofar shama, if you're inside, that's it, because there's no instrument, you're inside the thing, that's just your atmosphere, the acoustics, it's very big, okay, so there's a lot of acoustics, whatever. But intrinsically, if you're inside the thing, it's not an instrument. What do you say? It's just because acoustics are like a quantitative thing, but if it becomes a different qualitative sound, then that actually is, you could recognize an instrument which you're inside. Yeah. You can think about it. What I think is interesting about this sugya, about this way of learning, is that, and this is interesting about halacha in general,
like
is that
category,
yeah, is like you never get these ideas about music without doing the sugya. I mean, maybe musicians have ideas like this, you know what I mean? But it's like, in order to really arrive at the ideas, you have to kind of think about sound and the idea of an instrument and of walls being a part of an instrument. You know what I mean? It forces you to think, to have good, clear definitions in a mundane area, so to speak. And halacha, like, so to speak, trains your mind to think clearly and precisely in mundane areas. When you study Macholos Asuros, you're studying the world of the culinary, and it's halacha, how halacha treats the culinary is based upon objective analysis of the culinary art, so to speak. And in any area, when halacha comes to it, it forces you to, you can have definitions about things. Like, you can even just think about a hand, I don't know, I forgot something, like a, whatever, something maybe by your thumb, or, you know, by a sword, I forgot the thing. But, like, in any area, if you want to really know about how hands work, study the sugya about hands. Because then you'll end up seeing all the different, it's like the way halacha is constructed is like all the abstract ideas, you could fully analyze an area through halacha. Through halacha, it has all the chakira, and any sugya, it ends up like analyzing the area to its full, all its components, which you'd never be able to do without the sugya. I mean, a person just don't think like that. But it turns out, then, this trains your mind for thinking in life, in any area in life. Because now it's like you become trained at analyzing an area, any area, you know, to its fullest extent, in a way which, again, a normal person would never do that, not because it's not helpful to be able to analyze an area that way, you just don't realize the depth and the subtleties and the precision which can be involved in definitions and how these subtleties can make a difference. And they do make a difference in every area, in science, in human, in psychology, in any area of life. Is your mind becomes trained that defining precisely minutiae, which you know, which are very significant. So it's just interesting. Whenever you come across this type of a thing, it's interesting to know. I remember when you're doing Machal Tzuros, the Rechaim, everybody points out Rechaim on Tom Kaker. It's like a culinary type of a thing. It's like it uses, halacha makes use of the conceptual ideas in any given area. And that's why different areas have different flavor to them. Flavor, you know, like an area, you have to get used to the categories in the area. It's not homogeneous. Like every area in halacha takes up the categories and the ideas in that area. Din Ramana, it's a different flavor. Din, you know, it's a noshim. And you're doing a shofar, and it's a cold shofar, now you're getting into conceptualizing sounds and instruments, you know? Yeah, it's interesting. Amazing how halacha does that. That's kind of, I think you realize that when you start the sugya, you start realizing, how's halacha going to deal with echoes and sounds? And you think, I've been thinking about physics, and I think, like, that's part of what's hard, you know? But that's where you have to start, like, you start thinking, that's what you realize, this is a sugya not like other sugyas, because you're talking about sounds. How does halacha deal with sounds? So it's a funny kind of question. And you have to start thinking of how would you conceptualize sounds and sound producers, and you know what I mean? So it's like you can kind of tell when you're getting yourself into that kind of an area. And it's a good methodology, perhaps, to think about the area fresh. Now, even on the context of the halacha, I mean, it's always hard to get into it, you know, to make the move. You know, I think Zimmer had the main move. I think so. When you're doing it.